Welcome to Investor Resources with your hosts, Don Creech and Perry Sykes, who both realize that the market doesn't know what keeps you up at night. It doesn't know when you want to retire, and it doesn't know how old you are. The simple truth is, the market doesn't care. But if you care, then you've tuned in at the perfect time. You're listening to Investor Resources, bringing clarity to the confusing world of finance. Here are your hosts of Investor Resources, Don Creech and Perry Sykes.
Well, good afternoon. This is Don Creech.
And this is Perry Sykes. Welcome to the show, everyone.
So I wonder if there's ever going to be a Saturday when we open this show and things aren't confusing.
Well, there's nothing going on right now. Let's everybody go grab a glass of tea and kick back. We're done. We're done here. Yeah.
Well, given the invasion of Ukraine, in fact, I'm just thinking about this just as we are getting ready to air here today. I wonder if Putin thought that when he moved into those territories in Ukraine that are predominantly former Russians. I mean, they speak the Russian language, sure, and have a lot of those cultural things. I wonder if when he crossed the line there, if he thought he was going to get the kind of welcome that the Russians got when they defeated the Germans after World War II, and then everybody was saying our heroes are here. We've seen this in movies like The Band of Brothers when the United States pushed back off of the Normandy beach and they were retaking towns and moving the Germans out. And the locals were celebrating. Hallelujah, relief has finally arrived. And I wonder if Putin kind of had a vision that he was that kind of hero. Hasn't turned out that way.
Although I would have shortened your question. I just would have left it at, do you think Putin thought? And just stop it right there. Yeah, and I don't think he did. No, so there we go.
Well, given that the war is going on, one of the things that comes to mind is the book by Stephen Ambrose, Citizen Soldiers. I mean, he also wrote some other bestsellers, Band of Brothers and D-Day are two of his other books. But one of the things that he points out in the book is that there's a great deal of difference between study, preparation, and reality.
Always.
In basic training, I mean, particularly with World War II, I think in virtually every country that was going in to fight the Germans and later the Japanese, you got young men and women signing up. We're going to go take this battle on. So go through boot camp, and you are prepared. Until you're in the battlefield and all of a sudden you are overwhelmed with fire and shrapnel blowing overhead and you're lying helpless face down trying to stay alive.
That goes back to Mike Tyson when he was a heavyweight champion. He said, yeah, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the nose. And then then plans go out. Yeah, not what I was thinking about right there. Yeah, so...
And that's kind of the same way it is with the stock market. I mean, a lot of people say, well, I've seen the charts. Market always goes up. I've heard that for years. Until it doesn't, and all of a sudden you're down 25 or 30% in your account, and now the real test is in front of you, and what do you do? You can answer the questions online when you're doing a risk analysis questionnaire to try and figure out how your portfolio should be constructed. And they ask, can you tolerate a 20% drawdown in your account? And you think about it and say, I wouldn't like it, but I
can do that. I can get through that. Yeah, that won't be a game breaker for me.
And you're assuming then that everything else in the world is still operating as it is now, except when the market's down 20 or 30%, often a lot of things are different, and one of which is your emotional reaction to just having lost perhaps hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right, and that's one of the biggest things that individual investors discount. I'm going to be okay. I understand the long play here. If I lose 20 or 30%, that's okay. I know it's gonna come back. But then when you put it in dollar value, and you know that just left my portfolio in the last 3 days, and all of a sudden I'm down $100,000. oh, that really kind of hurts way more than I thought. And like you just said, Don, it's the emotional stress. That's the key. That's what stops you from being rational at that point. You don't have the ability to make a rational decision anymore. You're in full on panic mode, and that's when you're going to make a bad choice.
And there's no way to prepare for that on a spreadsheet.
No, there's just not. You can't be prepared for that. Yeah.
This is live call-in radio. We do have a phone number you can call in, 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770. We are not in the forecasting business, but we are in the searching for answers questions as we manage money on a discretionary basis for our clients and for some 401k plans that have hired us to oversee their 401k strategies. But if you want to have a question about the market or your portfolio or recommendation from the local financial advisor on the corner office, you can give us a call here today at 800-465-8770. So the real issue is, the real issue is kind of like what you wanted to have happen when you had teenagers. You wanted to be in control, and reality was it wasn't going so well.
You
want to
talk about an illusion, yeah. Pretending you're in control of your teenagers. Oh, boy. Yeah. That's a whole nother show right there, Don. Yeah.
And what we have is firsthand experience, isn't it?
We've been there. Been there, done that. Absolutely. Yeah.
So the question with regard to the market is there are a lot of things that you cannot control. You cannot control or even know if the Fed is really going to raise interest rates next month.
Fact. That's a fact. Yeah.
You can't control whether inflation is going to be higher, the same, or maybe a little lower next month or next quarter. You can't control what on earth the administration is going to do or the ECB and the other European countries and NATO are going to do about Putin. All these things are out of your control. What you can control is your plan. When this all started, and actually, stuff started trending lower back in January.
Right.
When all this stuff started, did you actually have a plan, a process, a set of rules that said, when these things happen without regard to the news, this is what I will do?
Because that's key. That's key, that you already have that plan in place. And if your plan is just, sort of platitudes about, well, if the market takes a big hit, I'm going to be a buyer. That's when I'm going to jump in, because I'm going to buy low and sell high. And they say that's what to do. But the vast majority of time, like you said, Don, when markets are down, there's a reason for that. And there's enough chaos out there that most people don't do that, even though that was their intention going in. But that's because they really didn't think it through. And if you have that process down, if you have the rules down prior to chaos like we have in the market right now, you have a chance to navigate through that. If you're now trying to decide what to do during the chaotic period, you've got real trouble trying to figure out what direction to go, because you didn't have anything set up prior to when everything went south.
So the current situation is different than the last time the markets were down.
Yeah.
The last time we had a major drop in the market was 2020 with COVID and all the clamping down by governments. I mean, we've never had a coordinated global shutdown or globally coordinated central bank actions to print money and throw it at anybody who's standing around to catch it, whether it was individual households or businesses.
Didn't matter.
It didn't matter. And this time, we have geopolitical events that didn't exist the last time. We don't know whether the Fed is going to delay their tightening in the face of inflation. They have been ignoring inflation. We don't know if they're going to ignore the geopolitical changing landscape. Nobody knows. And maybe even Mr. Powell doesn't know just yet what they're going to do. Decisions like that are often the ones that come after a great deal of procrastination, because they're viewed as transitory.
And of course, is anything that's even remotely political, they're all waiting. Maybe something will happen, and I won't have to make this call. And that's the holy grail for them, is what if I don't have to make this decision? Then I'm not going to be left on the hook for the results. So they're hoping some event, some other country, somebody does something so they don't have to do anything. But that's never the case with your own portfolio. When it's your money and it's your money that's at risk, you need to make those decisions as things occur, or have someone who's going to do that for you. Otherwise, you're just, you know, adrift at sea, and you're gonna go whichever way the tide's going, but that may not be necessarily where you were headed.
So market corrections, which is basically what we're in, because the market's down, hit the 10% negative year-to-date mark. Those happen on average every year, and yet we forget about them so quickly. We just put them in the rearview mirror and we quit looking at them. And this one, it's been a little longer. It's been about not quite 2 years since we had the last 10% drawdown. But most of these corrections do not morph into bear markets. However, is this time different? since we now have forecast of slowing economic growth going into next year, we have CEOs saying sales aren't quite as strong as they have been, but we're doing our best to control our cost. We'll try not to pass on rising costs, but and the hedging about how good business is continues.
Sure.
So slow down, yes. Recession, probably not yet. And once you get into a correction, which we're in, how long do they last? Well, on average, about 4 months. So we're through two. You just sit back in your recliner and say, I got another 2 months.
Almost done here. Yeah, we're halfway through this. We're almost done. And if, you know, anybody out there who's been you know, listening to our show for any amount of time, you know that we are not in the prediction business. We do not make predictions about, is this going to hit bear market territory? How long is this correction going to last? We don't know. But we will adapt to what does occur. And that's the critical factor. You have to be willing to make a change because of what's going on currently and not be anchored to, well, I've got 80 years of history that say this is a four-month event, so I don't care. Because you have no idea what this event is. And this is the only event that counts. Nothing previously. Those have already happened. It doesn't mean it's going to happen the same way again. The situation, the conditions are always different, and so are the outcomes. So it's important to be aware of what's going on right now. And right now, we are up against our first break of the afternoon here. If I'd like to remind everyone that we do have our monthly market update coming up on Saturday, March 5th, 9 o'clock in the morning. You can register for that by going to IRIradio.com. That is IRIradio.com. Just head to the webinar page. Yeah, webinar page. I flashed back to seminars there for a second, Don. We haven't had a seminar in a while.
And that's been a few years.
It's a little, yeah, I'm like, huh, what happened to me right there? Back to the webinar page. Give the registration link a click, and you'll get a link back in your email. And then on March 5th at 9 o'clock in the morning, give that a click, and you'll be live online with us. You'll be able to see our charts, see what we're talking about, and get a good feel for where we are right now in the market and what we think we should be doing about it. We also always have plenty of time for your questions, anything about the market, even individual holdings. If you're wondering about whether you should or shouldn't have something in your portfolio still, it's a great time to get a second opinion. So that's coming up on March 5th at 9 o'clock. Again, you can register for that at IRIradio.com. If you'd like to talk to us here this afternoon, we'd love to talk to you at 800-465-8770. That is 800-465-8770. We'll be right back.
Hey, well, all right, sir. Here we go there. What are they going to give for them? I've got $600 down here now, 10 and now, 25 and now, 35 and now, 50 and now, 60. Will they give me 60 now, 75? 75, another $85 on the bottom there.
$25. Well, that is what happens in the market. And it's interesting when people say, well, how do you know what's going on in the market? How do you know what's happening? So, well, the market is just simply a marketplace for people who hold securities, tradable securities. And the market rises until supply dries up and there's no more supply to buy. Sellers take over. and the market falls until there's so much supply until the buyers finally come in. So it's just a supply, it's a supply sell side issue. I mean, if you got, you've got lots of stuff to sell, then at the right price, you'll attract buyers. If it's overpriced, I mean, then the sellers say, man, I'm going to get it while I can. Let's get out of here. And they drive prices back down. And this last week on Thursday and Friday, prices were viewed as very cheap by many. And we had two remarkable days of rally. But we are still in downtrending trend lines on the charts for most of these indexes. I mean, the small cap index didn't even get up to its downtrend or its prior trading range. It's right. Basically building a new lower trading range.
And we've talked about that before, Don. Yeah, the overall value of the index levels can look okay, but boy, just peek under the hood a little bit, and there's a lot of turmoil and a lot of negative securities out there right now.
So when you take a look at the NASDAQ, where the tech stocks are, I mean, it's down around, I didn't check on Friday, but let's say it's roughly down 15% so far this year. But when you, as you said, Perry, you look under the hood, you go out in the front of the car, you flip the switch and you lift up the hood, and what you see inside is Apple is down. This is pretty mild. Apple's only down 8.5, but Tesla's down 24 year to date.
Yeah.
Nvidia down 19. Facebook, which is now Meta. Nobody knows what Meta is. In fact, I'm not sure that the company knows what Meta is. But anyway, Facebook is down 39% year to date. That's 2 months, or maybe it's off the high, which would be about 2.5 months. Anyway, this is where the real challenge of your gut comes in. You own these stocks.
No kidding, right? Yeah.
And you say, well, I like the company. I had no idea that there were that many people that hated it. But there's certainly been a lot of people who jumped out. Now, you want to be an optimist and you want to look a little further and you want to believe everything that Wall Street tells you. And we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes because there's some real reasons why you should not.
Yeah.
You turn and so Tesla's down 24% year to date, but the analysts are saying by year end it could be up 20. Now that won't be a break even point, but it'll be less gut churning than it is right now. Visa hasn't fallen much. They expect, analysts expect it to have a good year. Apparently, they believe consumers are going to continue to spend a lot of money, and it may not be for discretionary stuff, which is how we keep the economy running. It may be they're running out of income to keep up with inflation, and they just basically buy essentials on their credit card, which they can't pay off every month.
We're seeing that happen. We're seeing that the credit use increase now. A lot of the money that the quote stimulus money the government put out in the economy is beginning to dry up, and there's still a lot of jobs that are unfilled. So some of those people are coming to the end of the easy money era, and they're going to have to do something. And the first thing is re-up your visa. So we'll see how that goes.
So this really brings back the question with regard to your account, and that is, do you have rules?
Yeah.
I mean, in the midst of all of this, it's tempting to turn around and say, oh, I shouldn't own that anymore. Look at what's happened to that. Facebook down 39%. What am I doing with that in my portfolio? I hate to take the loss, but let's get rid of it. Well, one, now if you sell it, what are you going to do? And why are you down 39% with the issue?
In the first place, correct. Yeah. Why'd you write that down? Yeah.
You had no rules. Nobody was paying attention. But you're a long-term investor, and buy and hold is your mantra. But you might be holding that for years before it recovers to your entry cost. When you had a lot of other things that were doing better in the market, because the market's dynamic and leadership changes. And that kind of leads into expert predictions, which if you listen to business news, or you listen to news at all, periodically they're going to interview somebody about what the stock market's going to do, and they're going to have an opinion. They very rarely back it up with data, because data doesn't sell well on TV.
But they are going to sound very, very confident. They're going to give you all kinds of narrative reasons of why they are correct. But you know, please take those with a grain of salt, because tomorrow, or well, not tomorrow, the next show is going to have a bunch of people predicting something opposite of the person you just listened to. So it's not a good place to get information about what to do with your money.
So experts make countless predictions using hedging verbiage.
Yeah.
So when you listen to the host interviewing, and particularly on Saturday, I mean, you've got Wall Street Week, and you've got several programs, at least on Fox Business, which I'm up early in the morning. I'm still listening. These things are running in the background. And so they turn around and say, well, Joe, what do you think about what sector should we be in? What company has caught your attention? They have a couple of tips for our viewers. And of course, those tips come with, well, XYZ company may end up with better earnings than expected as a result of all the XY. And well, it could, might, or potentially by year end, or one of the analysts that is on regularly says, well, I'm a long-term investor, so I think over the next 5 years, XYZ is going to do a phenomenal job of increasing the value in our portfolios. You see, the next 5 years.
The five-year prediction, that's a great one, because who's tracking that, right? Who's going to be around 5 years later to remember what they said and whether it worked out or not? So that's they can safely say whatever they want in a five-year prediction.
Even the host may change in 5 years, so there's no accountability.
Absolutely.
And experts use precise descriptions of past events and draw the conclusion that A caused B, B caused C, and as a result, C caused D, and that's where we are today. So we know what E is going to look like.
And anyone could have seen that coming. You know, everybody.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it was easy to look, as clear as a bell. Look what happened. Here's how we knew what was going on. But then, again, when you ask someone what's about to happen coming up next, then we get back to the might, probable, maybe, I'm not sure. Then that's where that stays.
So experts give answers, not nuance. And that's why we don't do projections, because nobody knows what's going to happen. All we know is what's going on right now. What do the charts tell us? Now, why are charts important? Because charts tell us what the collective decision is among global investors on any particular security, whether they are optimistic, pessimistic, or agnostic with regard to a particular security and its future. Because people invest expecting that the future is going to provide a return. And we're all looking for return differential. We want to buy at one given price and sell at another. And it doesn't matter what order you do them in. If you sell first, that's called shorting the market, but you still expect to buy at a lower price. You've already sold it. Most investors don't do that, but that is a process of hedging, which can be used. And we do have the potential for that. We don't use it very often in our dynamic portfolio, but it's there as a strategy when it appears to be justifiable. And that's a function of rules. We have rules. We do our best to follow the rules. It's kind of like you expect your teenagers to follow the rules.
Yeah, we're better than them, though, at following the rules. That's pretty random, yeah. But basing it on teenagers, yeah, that could be a little dicey. So.
So when it comes to forecast on the market and the economy, basically you need to view them as being entertaining. Entertainment on the Business Network.
They're good for that, sure.
And they are designed to cause angst. Because if you are anxious, the odds are higher that you're going to view the next show and stay tuned, which increases viewership, which increases ad revenue. Because if there's a lot of viewers, they get to charge money for ads. That's something which CNN hasn't figured out.
Exactly. But that it is important to understand. You really do have to boil it all down to just capitalism. Those guys are there to keep eyeballs on the page. They're there to keep eyeballs on the screen. They're there to keep your subscription active to their newsletter. And you don't do that by saying, you know what? We really can't tell what's going on right now, so we're just going to have to hang on for a little bit here and see which direction this goes. Nobody's buying that. They want someone decisively to say, we're turning left, we're turning right, we're heading up, we're heading down. Just tell me what it is, because people absolutely crave that certainty, and they'll pay for it, but you don't get it. That's the problem. It does. There's no follow through there, and so you do not get what you're paying for, but it's just money in the bank for them, and they know it is, and they're not going to stop now. They're going to keep doing that. It's worked for a long, long time, and they're not going to stop doing it right now. It's up to you. It's up to us as the consumer to say, yep, that was funny, but I'm not paying for that. So that's much more important. We are here at the bottom of the hour. Time for us to take another break. I'd like to remind everyone that we do have a weekly email newsletter called The Week in Review. It gives you a look at what's gone on economically in this past week. And we try to let you know, things that are important that you should pay attention to, and maybe even more importantly, some of the things that are just noise and you can safely ignore them. If you'd like to get signed up for that, it's a freebie. You just send us an email. Send the email to help@iriradio.com. That's help@iriradio.com. Put Week in Review in the subject line. We need your first and last name in the body of the email, and you will begin receiving that this Monday. If you decide you don't want it, it's easy to unsubscribe, and it will just disappear from your email. But we get very few people that actually opt out, so it's a valuable piece. It's a nice, easy read, and it'll give you a little clarity about what's going on that week. If you would like to talk to us here this afternoon, we'd love to talk to you. The number is 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. You are listening to Investor Resources here on AM 770 KTTH. Stay with us. We will be right back.
So I'm telling you right now, only the strong spy.
That's true in the market. It's true generally in life. You have to know where you stand, and you have to well, I hate to use that word, exercise, to stay in shape. However, I have a pact with my granddaughter in Ogden that every day she does her exercise, she sends me a text message that she's done it, and I send her one when I've done mine.
Ah, there's some real accountability there. Yeah.
I asked her one time, I said, whose idea was this?
Why do we do this again?
I think it was mine. I put myself in it. But accountability is important. You got to think through, what is it you're going to do when these different things happen? Now, during the show, there was a clip on the news, the banner that runs across the bottom of the screen.
There you go, a little crawler there, yeah.
Crawler, and it basically said that President Biden has authorized something in excess of $300 million of aid to go to Ukraine to help with the current situation over there, which is significant. And I'm curious, I pull out my, I've got to reach across the table here, I pull out my calculator. So we're going to send Ukraine $300+ million. We buy 565,000 barrels of oil a day from Russia. Mm-hmm. At $95 a barrel, that's $54 million a day.
Yeah.
I'm just having a hard time. This is confusing to me. We talked about confusing in our first segment. This is one of those confusing things. We're still buying oil from Russia and giving them a ton of money, and we're going to give a whole lot. We're going to give a week's worth of that money to Ukraine to repel Russia. There'd probably be more on its way, but be that as it may, the issue that we have is how do we deal with what is in front of us? And it comes down to rules. One, we have to plan scenarios. What do you think will happen? I turn around and I take a look at the S&P 500 chart, and we had this massive rally, which was totally unexpected.
I mean, out of nowhere, yeah.
The S&P on Thursday was down 3.5%, round numbers, And within hours, it reversed once the announcement of sanctions was released, and it finished up 3.5%. That's a massive move in one day in the market. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And then we turn around, and the next day, the market's up 2%, a little over 2.19. And I'm doing my end-of-week risk analysis, trying to figure out what we're looking at for next week. And utilities, which are a defensive sector, were up almost 3.25%. Utilities rallied more than the S&P 500. Well, that tells you, one, they were priced cheap. They attracted a lot of buyers. But there's still a massive amount of fear left in this market because those are defensive securities. People buy utilities when they're worried about continuing market decline. And even with those two strong days in the rally on the S&P 500, they remain below the 200-day moving average, which says it's still in bear market territory and things could get worse before they get better. And I mean, you look at the number of stocks that go up in a given day and the stocks that go down in a given day. It's called the advanced declining issues or advanced, and it creates a line day to day. That advanced decline line continues to erode. So what are we celebrating on Thursday and Friday?
And there is a lot of that. There's a lot. Well, are we done here? Is this over? And, you know, we're like, we barely got started here, you know, and the initial reaction is a good dose of no matter how much you think you know, you don't know what's coming up in the market. No one does. We don't know. No one knows. And to act with your portfolio as if you know the future and here's what's coming and I know how this is going to move next, that's just a recipe for disaster because you don't. And you need to take a deep breath, take a look at what's out there, and take a measure of where things are actually going. And like you said, Don, advanced decline line, still going down. Defensive stocks, still going up. There's a lot of fear out there. There's a lot of defensive movement out there. That doesn't mean, well, that's it. It's time to, you know, buy the large cap tech again. Growth is back. Here we go. We're 2 days into this or 3 days into this, and it's like it's going to take a while to get this sorted out. And caution at this point is probably a wise decision.
So I don't do this very often, but in this week's report, I'm putting in a chart that I used last week because it's a look back at what happened the last time we went through this kind of
right
chart similar period, which would be 2018, be fourth quarter of 2018. And we topped out in October 4th, I believe. We fell for about a week, and then we went sideways. We fell more, and we rallied. We fell, and we rallied. And we went through this for 2 months, and that's not abnormal.
Right.
And then investors got tired, and they just gave up hope.
And they
pulled the plug, and the market fell until day before Christmas. And so the market's down 20% in 3 months. We're only halfway there. We're only halfway through the chop, and we're only halfway down to a 20% drawdown. And what are we looking at? We're looking at war in Europe. We're looking at slowing growth, which didn't exist back in 2018. Nor did the war. We're looking at rising interest rates, though Janet Yellen was pushing rates up a little bit, but not like the Fed is faced with now. The economic conditions were a lot more positive in 2018 than they are today.
Correct.
So you turn around and take a look at 2 days of massive rally and say, man, that is the buying opportunity of a decade. And it may be. We don't know yet. What we do know is that there's still a massive amount of securities and indices which suggest caution is still justified. And all of our portfolios are still defensive.
Correct.
We are not. Yeah. We did not jump back in on technology. And I'm not going to go through it, but anybody wants to see this report. I mean, it's normally it just goes out to financial advisors, but I, if you're curious about the kind of stuff that we look at on a weekend to figure out how we should be addressing risk management, send me an email, help@iriradio.com, and put report in the subject line, and we need your first and last name so we know who we're sending it to, and we'll have your email address. And I'll send you a copy. I'm not going to put you in the subscription line, but it'd be a freebie. And you should learn something, that trying to figure out risk management in the market is a full-time job.
It's a lot more involved than people think. It's a lot more than just sitting back and saying, well, I think this is going to happen, and I think that's not going to happen, therefore what I'm doing is safe. That's just not how it works. There's a lot more to it, and it would be an interesting read if someone's interested in seeing some of the nuts and bolts that go into that decision.
Well, and it's not a function of saying, well, I think I can handle a 20% drawdown.
Right.
I have plenty of money. I'm not 65 yet, so I can handle more risk. I mean, you go through that 10 or 20 questionnaire that you do to build a portfolio full of bonds, because that's the only risk management that you have in most portfolios, is don't put money in stocks, put it in bonds, which lose value in a rising rate market. They don't tell you that, but that's reality, which raises the question of why should you overweight your portfolio in bonds as you get older when you expect interest rates to rise?
Boy, is that a good question.
Got to think about that.
And that's the status quo. That's the absolute go-to decision. If you're going to go to your regular broker, you get the pie chart, and they're doing modern portfolio theory, and it's like, well, if you're 60, you probably need at least 40% bonds, and if you're 70, you may need 50 or 60% bonds, and that bond allocation just keeps going up, and it's based on the past 50 years of bond returns. Well, we don't get those bond returns anymore, and we're not going to. But it's still, that number's still going to get dialed into your portfolio. So you're actually heading in a direction that cannot lead you to success. And more importantly, it cannot deliver safety in your portfolio. And that's what they're really advertising.
Yeah, I had a long conversation with a money manager back east this week. And we were discussing this issue of modern portfolio theory and its broad use. I mean, it is, it's 85 to 90% of people's portfolios are built on this thing. And I said, it's not built there and it's not used to make clients money. The only assumption on making money is eventually markets go up and so they'll win. The purpose of modern portfolio theory and its application across the universe of investors is because if you're a big investor and you lose big money and you sue the firm, modern portfolio theory is the legal defense that the firm will use to avoid having to pay you. And your attorney, who probably has no financial background, doesn't understand the theory, so he doesn't know where the holes are, you lose. And other than that, I mean, it works in bull markets. In bear markets, not so much.
which is when you need it most.
That's correct. You got to do something else. I mean, we confess here, when we were brainwashed with this because that's how you pass all your tests. You want to be a CFP or an AIF or an CLU. I mean, you have to understand modern portfolio theory. And you have to pass that test or you don't get your certification. You're brainwashed just the way the press brainwashes the public on how to manage money. Every website does the same thing. There are flaws in it. You want to understand them, read Misbehavior of Markets. It's cheap. It's $20 or so on Amazon. I think I'm up against a break here.
We are. We're about to get out of here, but that is a good one. Misbehavior of Markets by Mandelbrot. That'll give you a lot of good information about how markets work. And it's not written for mathematicians. It's just written for anybody who's interested. So it's a great read. I'd like to remind everyone that coming up Saturday, March 5th, 9:00 in the morning, we're going to have our next market update. We're going to take a look at what's going on in the economy currently, what's going on in the markets, and what we're doing with the portfolios to try to adapt to that. We have plenty of time to talk to you about questions you have about your portfolio. And to register for that, just go to IRIradio.com. That is IRIradio.com. Navigate to the webinar page and give that registration link a click, and that's it. You'll be registered, and on March 5th, just give that link a click, and you'll be live online with us. It really we have a growing audience. We get a great response, and we always get a number of great questions during those webinars. If you'd like to talk to us this afternoon, we still have plenty of time, a whole segment left, to get your question up on the board. Give us a call at 800-465-8770. It's 800-465-8770. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Yeah, we need Inspector Clouseau to figure out some of this stuff, see if he can straighten things out. Though, as well as he did in the Pink Panther, it would take us a long time, I think, to reach a conclusion.
Although we could use a few laughs right now. So,
well, that's true. So what do you do with this when you see all these headlines and your stomach starts churning? One is you turn off the news because, as we explained earlier, it's there for entertainment and to suck you into more viewership. What you should be doing then would be to find a good book. Maybe it's an entertaining book. If you're really that concerned about investing, read an investment book so that you get a better understanding of how markets work and how the turmoil is resolved. Turmoil is necessary in the market to make money. Without it, we'd call it volatility, but without it, there's no upside. If you don't want turmoil, you put your money in the credit union. They'll be glad to sit on it. And when you want it, they'll just give it back to you.
No volatility, but no growth.
No gain. Yep. Yeah. Now, the issue is, how do you control the downside? That everybody wants upside. Nobody wants downside. I had a client call early last month or late December, upset that we weren't tracking the Dow Jones. That was December, matter of fact.
That's right.
And I said, well, you know, most of the stocks in there are really overpriced, and they've got a lot of downside risk. And speaking of which, one of the things I looked at this weekend is that those 2 days of rally that we had on the Dow Jones, only 14 of the 30 stocks actually had a positive week. They're still down for the year, but a positive week. And a half of them are still turning negative.
And the Dow's still well below the 200-day moving average.
Oh, quite a bit.
Yeah, it's not healthy. Yeah, it's not
healthy. We got into the January, and all of a sudden he wasn't concerned about meeting with me anymore.
I don't want to track the Dow anymore. Yeah, yeah. let's forget about that. Yeah.
So as we went to break, I mentioned a good book that really helps put things in perspective, and that Misbehavior of Markets by Mandelbrot. And it's available at Amazon, and it's not a hard read.
It should
open your eyes and realize how much the industry has programmed us to use a theory that was never intended to be used the way the industry uses it. Harry Markowitz has said repeatedly, what the industry did to my theory was never intended to be used that way. It wasn't designed to do what it's being used for. But as people who've been programmed from the industry side, it makes a great sales presentation.
And that's what it's become. And that's what everybody needs to understand. It's a sales pitch and nothing more. You can put in some great charts. You can show some great numbers that run over 100 years, and it makes it look like this is so simple, and it's just not true in day-to-day reality. And that's where we invest. That's where your money's invested. It's invested today, and it doesn't matter what the 50-year smooth average looks like. You're invested today, and you're getting whatever's going on in the market today. And that's the part they try to hide from you.
So with what's going on over in Ukraine, I mean, there's going to be continued news coverage of massive human tragedy, and there's nothing we can do about it. We don't know how market's going to react. All we can do, or you can do if you're running your own portfolio, is to follow your rules and make the adjustments as the market makes adjustments that have sufficient trend support. I mean, day to day, that's not it. The issue is, do we see enough money flowing into this particular sector to suggest that it can continue to move upward? Because if it's continuing to move downward, why is it in our portfolio?
And that's the key. We need to track the data. The data is where it's got to be. Right now, there is no shortage of narratives out there. They are everywhere to tell you about what's going to occur, how bad this is, how much worse it could get. And that's when we all need to remind ourselves that there are way more many bad things that could happen than will happen. And so you can't run your portfolio based on the fear of all the things that might happen, or you would never be invested anyway. You need to track the data of what's going on in the market, what's going on with what you own. Even if the market's dropping, if what you own is going up, focus on that and say, well, I'm gonna hang on to that until it's not. And that relieves a lot of the stress about what are we going to do about this. We're going to watch the data, and we're going to track that, and we're going to try to tune out the noise to the highest degree we can.
So one of the statistical pieces of data that came out from an analyst at LPL this week was on an analysis of geopolitical events, which is what we're in the midst of, that if you just hang on long enough, these things all go away.
Right.
Well, duh. Yeah. Okay.
Genius. Yeah.
Got that. And some of them are short. We pulled out of Afghanistan. We had a one-day sell-off, and 3 days later, it was history. I mean, we were back up at levels. But then you turn around and take a look at something like the invasion of Kuwait, and it took 6 months to get over that and get back to even. So somewhere between 1 or 2 days to 6 months to a year, everything will be okay in the market. These events cause panic initially. They cause a rebound because people say it's not going to be that bad. And then you have more time to think about it and events unfold and you say, well, maybe it is that bad. And we have to chop around and work our way out. And so do you sit still or do you defend your capital? Well, we would argue that you should be defending your capital. Because if you lose it, it's really hard to make it back.
It is. That's kind of that's the key. To win this game, you have to stay in the game. So you can't afford to sit around and lose half of everything you spent your entire life saving, because the markets refuse to turn around. Everything just kept trending down, which has happened a number of times. It's not that that doesn't happen. It doesn't happen once a year, but it does occur, and you can't afford to lose all that money. You don't have that kind of time to rebuild that level of investment again. So defend the capital. Don't just write it down and say, well, in 20 years, we'll never even remember this happened, and because you don't have 20 years. You're trying to retire now, not 20 years from now.
So those were geopolitical events. We take a look at economic events. Let's go back to 07 and 08. That's where the housing crisis finally...
Well, yeah.
The mortgage business unraveled, and the real estate residential market really unraveled. And that took 7 years to get back to the high. And if we go to the tech bubble, that one was also caused by government intervention. If you're really curious about that, send me an email. I'll give you some details instead of today. But it took, for the NASDAQ, I mean, it took 15 years to get even out of there for the buy and hold investor. And, you know, it was, Perry, I don't remember, but it's a couple of months ago, we had a gentleman, I think he was over in Ballard. He's an elderly gentleman. He said, well, I mean, I held through that. Okay. So, I mean, he was younger at the time, and so he's held 20 years downstream without needing any of the money in his stock account.
Right.
He had time to heal. But is that why you have your stock portfolio, is to sit on it for 20, 30 years, never touching the money? Now, if you can, good for you, because you've got great legacy capital that you can leave for your grandkids or charity, you know, based on your objectives and your family.
If you're lucky enough to pick well, to choose those companies well, like we explained to him on the air, you know, you can decide to hold on to a company for 20 years. Many companies aren't around 20 years later. your investment's gone. It evaporated somewhere along the way. So even if you are patient and you wait and wait and wait, a lot of those companies don't come back once they take a big hit.
Well, and some of that comes from misuse of capital. I mean, one of the things that helped push the market the last couple of days and push the market over the last several years post-pandemic crash is companies that had money were buying back their stock, because compensation for management is often tied to stock price. So if they have money, or as many did post-pandemic, borrow cheap because the Fed was printing and making tons of money available. So companies that should not have been able to borrow a dime based on bad profit situation and already overly leveraged, think GameStop and AMC for a couple, they borrowed more money and investors gave it to them. And they went out and then they bought more stock to raise the price. Anytime the price would start to fall, they'd spend some money and buy it, prop it up. This creates an artificial appearance when investment bankers are doing this to keep a handful of stocks rising in price so the index looks good, confusing investors. And basically, we had a bear market that started in the summer of 2018. The indexes didn't reflect that. But if you looked at, again, you lift up the hood and look underneath and see what's going on, we had a bear market as mature companies were being replaced with their product innovation by new, younger companies.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah.
And we're still seeing that process go on right now. And how do you deal with that? Well, unless you have rules to force you to make decisions that your gut says, I don't want to do this.
It will tell you, I don't want to do it. But you need to.
You need the rules. You got to follow the rules. If you don't follow the rules, you don't have any. You want to know how that works? You want to know how that would work with your portfolio? You give us a call during the week at 800-317-9119 or send us an email, help@irradio.com. We don't need to see your statement. All we need is a list of your tickers, and we can put together a report and deal with that with you online. You don't even have to come in the office. But we're out of time. So God bless you. God bless your family. And God bless the United States of America. Lord willing, we'll be back next Saturday. Have a great day and a good week.